We're joined today by Jen Metzger, who is a former New York State senator. She's also a policy advisor for Clean Power for New York down in the sort of upper Hudson Valley. And recently, Jen, you helped circulate a letter to Senate Majority Leader Schumer and Senator Gillibrand, urging them to put more money or more targets into the President Biden's infrastructure proposal to deal with sort of a green housing, affordable, energy efficient initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what this initiative is and why it's important?
Sure. So first of all, just to sort of set the context, you know, we face both a climate crisis and an affordable housing crisis in New York, really across the country. And you know, this is really sort of at the nexus at, you know, climate justice, equity, that is so important to the climate law that we passed when I was in the state Senate. You know, decarbonizing our buildings, getting every single building off of fossil fuels in New York State, and making them more efficient, reducing energy use. This is just an enormous challenge. I mean, it's literally millions of buildings that, you know, we have to improve and electrify in less than three decades. And almost half of New York's population is low and moderate income, you know, so there's, and most of the buildings in New York were built before there were energy codes. So, you know, people are living in homes that are leaky, drafty, costly, and in many cases, unhealthy living environments. Many New Yorkers do not have the resources to make the kinds of investments they need to make in their buildings. So we really have to ramp up state spending, and state investments, but also federal investments in buildings. And actually, President Biden had in his American Jobs Plan had, you know, it put forward a proposal to invest over 200 billion to produce, preserve, and retrofit more than 2 million affordable and sustainable places to live in New York. So that I mean, in the country. So that was, I mean, that was huge. The challenge, of course, is much bigger than that. And our letter calls for a significantly larger investment. But what we want to see happen in the what we hope to be the second infrastructure bill that is negotiated through the and goes through the reconciliation process, we want to see a significant commitment to green affordable housing and the workforce development we need in that infrastructure bill. It was not, there were no housing provisions in, or there are, from what I understand, there are no affordable housing provisions energy investments in affordable housing in the bipartisan bill that agreement was just reached on.
So, you know, what would this mean, say, like for an average, you know, low and moderate income household, you know, in the Capital District or Upper Hudson Valley, you know, what would they be able to get if this program was authorized at the level you're seeking?
Well, first of all, we're looking to get some changes to some of the existing programs like HEAP and the weatherization program. They need to be updated. So, for instance, like the HEAP grant program, right now, if your boiler breaks, your furnace breaks, they replace it with another gas or oil, you know, a furnace or boiler. And we need that updated to enable HEAP to pay for investments in heat pumps. So, and the same is true with weatherization. We need to change the definition of weatherization for the current weatherization programs, which, you know, do reach many low-income households, to include clean energy technologies, because it's not just about you know, weatherizing your building. It's also about moving away from on-site combustion and fossil fuels. And it's not just an, you know, a climate issue. It's a huge health issue as well. You know, recent studies have come out showing that just how bad, you know, combustion of fossil fuels in buildings are for people's health, you know, the asthma rates and, you know, other health problems associated with that. So it's not just a climate issue. It's also a health issue.
Now, one of the issues, we talked about this earlier, but there does seem, you know, yes, put more insulation into homes and get rid of your natural gas or boilers and furnaces and move to, you know, air heat pumps, something nicer, even National Grid's been promoting. But now there seems to be also increasing interest in geothermal, and also this concept of district geothermal, where maybe you can do 20 or 40 or 100 homes at a time. You know, how would some of these, you know, newly developing alternative energy sources fit into this program?
Right. So we have a lot of specific recommendations in this letter that, by the way, many organizations, I think we're up to at least 70 organizations have signed on in support of this letter: labor, housing, environmental, community-based organizations. Among our recommendations are really leveling the playing field for incentives for geothermal and, you know, making sure we're recognizing that as a renewable energy resource and incentivizing it appropriately. And geothermal is so important because it also, you know, doesn't aggravate peak load, peak electricity load, like air source heat pumps do. So, and that's something that everyone switches over to electrification for heating and hot water. You know, there are a lot of concerns about increasing peak load. So geothermal is definitely, you know, an important technology for us to invest in, and hold the ability to do whole neighborhoods like that, you know, through district heating is the way to go first, just in terms of the scale of change. But also there are going to be efficiencies in you know, investing in a system like that rather than one house at a time.
So what can people do at this point? How can they find out more information about this? And, you know, Senator Schumer from our state is now the Senate Majority Leader. He's in, you know, sort of the driver's seat. Has any, you know, response yet from Senator Schumer? And, you know, how is this going to play out?
So we just started meeting with members of Congress, where the letter went to representative of the New York delegation, the whole New York delegation, including our representatives. We met with Congressman Delgado yesterday. He has actually been really pushing a green workforce development, which is actually another critical piece of that, because we literally do not have the workforce to make the changes in the building, in the built environment that we need to make. But for more information, people can go to the New Yorkers for Clean Power website, right on the, you can just Google New Yorkers for Clean Power. The letter to federal representatives is right there on the opening page of the website, and as well as calls to action. You can call your Congress members and offer your support for this, for a strong, not just for an infrastructure bill that's strong on climate generally, but also importantly includes the necessary funding for green affordable housing and jobs. And I just, to put it in like the New York perspective, 30% of
15 seconds.
Okay. New York's direct emissions are from our buildings. So we're not going to get to our goals, our climate goals, unless we tackle this sector.
Well, thank you, Jen Meska, New Yorkers for Clean Power. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.